Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, but grow your own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Hal Opino's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts heard around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 and the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right. It is 1:02 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 97 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, cloudy with 31% humidity. Today, we're going to start out with a clip from the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, titled, Understanding the Threat, Anti-Government Extremists. This video is narrated by Jim Cavanaugh, a ATF special agent who was a negotiator at the Branch Davidian siege. He should be familiar to anyone who has viewed Waco Rules of Engagement. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors. You take a mortal man and put him in control. Watch him become a god. Watch people's heads roll.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. 89.5
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Well, all right, folks, we're going to start out with a clip from the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's called Understanding the Threat, Anti-Government Extremists. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com if you'd like to take a look at it at some point. It is narrated by a gentleman named Jim Cavanaugh, okay, an ATF special agent who was a negotiator at the Branch Davidian siege, amongst other things. Actually went looking around for his bio, and I couldn't find very much about him, but what I did find was interesting, and we'll get right into it as soon as we're done playing the clip. So let's just get it queued up here. And here we go.
On April 12, 2014, agents from the Bureau of Land Management found themselves surrounded by hundreds of armed and angry militiamen backing a Nevada rancher in the desert.
We're going to go and take our land back and declare freedom and liberty here in this land.
There to enforce a court order to seize his cattle, they were not prepared for what they faced. What was supposed to be a peaceful protest quickly threatened to boil over. A decades-long fight between rancher Cliven Bundy and the federal government over grazing rights quickly became a clarion call for the anti-government movement to mobilize. Militia members and supporters streamed in from around the nation. Suddenly, federal and local authorities were facing the threat of anti-government extremists ready to act on their violent beliefs. Snipers took up strategic positions on the hillsides above, their rifles aimed directly at the agents. The officers were outnumbered and outgunned. Fearing bloodshed, they wisely retreated. Yet that decision emboldened militias, sovereign citizens, and angry, self-styled patriots. At the time, the situation was unlike any other in recent memory. Not since the 1990s had militias been so willing to defy law enforcement.
We're just seeing a few images of the Nevada standoff with the BLM.
I'm retired ATF Special Agent in Charge Jim Cavanaugh. I spent 33 years with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and I know firsthand just how dangerous it can be when an ideology fueled by blind rage turns against the federal government. In the 1990s, we saw it in Oklahoma City, where Timothy McVeigh killed 168 people with a massive truck bomb placed at a federal building.
Bullshit.
Today we're facing a similar threat. Since 2008, we've seen a dramatic resurgence of what is known as the anti-government movement. There were 998 of these groups in 2015. That's up from a low of 149 just 7 years earlier. But the sentiment behind that rise was not confined to the extremist fringe. A 2015 Pew study, for example, found that only 19% of Americans felt they could trust the federal government. Amid that backdrop, it is no surprise that some people began to view taking up arms against that same government as the answer. The 2014 standoff in the Nevada desert was only the beginning of a surge in anti-government actions that threatened violence. About 6 weeks after the standoff, a newlywed couple that had gone to the Bundy Ranch walked into a pizza parlor in Las Vegas determined to spark a revolution.
Bullshit.
They killed two police officers at point-blank range. On one officer's body, they draped the Don't Tread on Me flag, one of the calling cards of the anti-government movement.
Bullshit.
In South Texas, heavily armed men in camouflage began organizing patrols and sentry posts. They believed the government was failing to protect the border. They operated out of a base they called Camp Lone Star and claimed their mission was to, quote, push back the illegals. The leader of the group, Casey Massey, began collecting materials that could be used to make explosives. He and another man were arrested on federal weapons charges. The following summer, armed militiamen rushed to defend two Oregon gold miners who were in a dispute with the government. They were backed by the Oath Keepers, a group of tactically trained former military and police personnel. For 6 weeks, they turned the hills surrounding the mine into a patrol base. They were ready for war. Then, in January 2016, militia extremists flocked to the town of Burns, Oregon, to support two ranchers sentenced to prison for starting fires on public lands. After a peaceful protest on January the 2nd, a small contingent of armed men stormed a nearby federal wildlife refuge. They occupied it for 41 days. Two of Clive and Bundy's sons led the occupation. Numerous others came and went. They threatened to kill or be killed in defense of their version of law and liberty. They wanted the federal government to give up its ownership of federal lands in the West. The occupiers claimed to be representing the people of the area, but most locals felt differently. These events may have happened far from your community, but no area of the country is immune. In some urban areas, militias have begun conducting training exercises in preparation for a time when they believe they will be first responders. Sometimes they may show up in volatile situations. For example, during the civil unrest after an officer-involved shooting in Ferguson, Missouri, members of the Oath Keepers walked the streets in body armor, openly carrying assault rifles. Others in the anti-government movement called on volunteers to monitor law enforcement movements and track key events and locations of both the rioters and responders. Increasingly, communities nationwide have become focal points in a fight law enforcement didn't want, and officers are put in positions they never expected. If your town is being targeted, here are some common indicators. Widespread community anger over the government's treatment of an individual, group, or movement. Calls to action, often in the form of community meetings and public protests, many times focusing on authority figures. Escalating discussions and alerts on social media. National anti-government leaders suddenly taking an interest in your community. And finally, appearance of militia members in your area. They are usually armed, they may be wearing paramilitary outfits, or just civilian clothes, but they will advertise their militia affiliation or anti-government ideology in some form. Stickers, patches, emblems, or flags. They may even sport familiar patriotic symbols, but with a twist. Once the militia appears, the potential for conflict increases. Your response becomes critical. The militia not only targets your community, it targets your department. Officers are portrayed as pawns of the government and an enemy of the people. Las Vegas Metro Police Sergeant Tom Jenkins knows this all too well. Jenkins was among 30 Las Vegas cops called in to keep the peace at the Bundy standoff in 2014. As tensions mounted, Jenkins and his colleagues found themselves facing an angry and growing crowd that was hundreds strong. Jenkins later told a reporter that police didn't show any fear but said, quote, "I tell you, in the back of our minds, we thought that could be our last day on earth." In South Alabama, law enforcement encountered a different kind of threat from anti-government activists. Local and county officers begin to see people who call themselves sovereign citizens acting like law enforcement. A national group called the Republic for the United States of America have been quietly training its members to patrol the areas and monitor law enforcement. Armed and uniformed men soon began confronting officers on patrol. What started as gatherings at a local restaurant evolved into a situation where extremists were openly brandishing weapons and fake badges. The threat isn't always physical. There's also the danger that anti-government ideology can reach into the ranks of law enforcement. Militias and their supporters are trying hard to persuade officers to adopt their false interpretation of American law and history. They believe that if they can get a sheriff, a chief of police, or an officer on patrol to take their side, their chances of defying the federal government are greater.
Well, I'm going over to meet the sheriff in Grant County. You'll come along with us, and you'll talk with us over there. You can go ahead and shoot me.
They may say that the federal government has no authority over your area.
excuse me. That was Lavoie Finicum speaking just a moment ago, just so you guys know. Let's continue.
They may say that sheriffs are the highest law enforcement authority in the land. They may even show you documents they believe prove their claims. They may invoke your oath of office. Anti-government activist John Ritzheimer recently called on militias to demand that local officials uphold their version of the law.
You're too busy rolling around out there shooting at tree stumps that you can't sit there and do the real work. Get an indictment. Present it to the sheriff. If they don't uphold the law, that's where the militia come in.
Extremists sometimes call for citizens' grand juries that they wrongly believe can indict government officials. Don't be fooled. What they are asking in the guise of upholding your oath may lead you to break the laws you've sworn to enforce. They are preying on your patriotism. It's a deal with the devil.
Are you kidding me? They're preying on your patriotism. It's a deal with the devil. They may ask you to uphold your oath. Are you fucking kidding me? These people are nutcases. I mean, they're so spelling themselves out as the enemy. You got to be a fucking brain dead moron after watching this to not realize who the enemy is, or at least who the operatives are.
You can protect yourself and save the lives of others by understanding the nature of this threat, how to prepare for it, and what to do if it appears in your community. If a confrontation occurs, trust your training, stay steady, and wait them out. It's important to know that anti-government extremists are looking for a fight. They are waiting for you to cross the line that they've drawn in the sand. Don't.
Did you catch that? They're waiting for law enforcement to cross our lines in the sand, and then this jackass Jim Kavanaugh from the ATF is telling you, don't. Which is quite interesting. Very interesting.
Using lessons learned from Waco, a siege in Montana in 1996 ended peacefully after almost 3 months of patient negotiation. But when the danger has passed, move swiftly to hold those who break the law accountable. At the 2016 occupation in Oregon, law enforcement waited for the right moment to begin making a series of arrests. Eventually, 25 people were arrested. Have local law enforcement out front. One of the major law enforcement successes of the Oregon standoff was putting local and state authorities in the foreground while the FBI worked behind the scenes.
So get the local pigs out there in front to take all the flack, huh? And so people don't get pissed off about who's actually pulling the strings. So when they have these multi-jurisdictional task force put together, they're going to take the local boys and put them on the outskirts and put them in front of the camera while the FBI and the ATF pull all the strings. Lovely.
That is not insignificant when dealing with the anti-government movement, which views the federal government as the enemy. These extremists are more likely to engage in discussions and reach a peaceful resolution when dealing with local authorities. Collective wisdom counts. Remember, you don't have to go it alone. Working as a team across all levels of law enforcement was crucial in ending the refuge standoff. Seek advice and additional resources from other agencies. Get your message out. Communication is critical. Let your neighbors know just what these outside forces represent. While the anti-government movement claims...
So they're calling us outside forces, yet at the same time they're claiming they need to use local law enforcement as a buffer because people don't like the federal government coming into their town. And they're saying we're an outside force. I live in this community. I remodeled this house from looking like shit where nobody wanted to touch it. You know, I'm an asset to my community. If anybody is an alien, it's you. You're the person living in freaking Tennessee or wherever, coming all the way out to our parts of the country, causing problems. So, all right, I'm sorry. I can't even think. This guy's just making me mad. All right, let's continue.
To be restoring law and order, it is not. Instead, it is creating tension and fear. Militias seek to define conflicts as patriots versus the government. But in Oregon, people reacted in a way the occupiers did not expect. The public was resentful and openly voiced opposition. Without local support, the reality became apparent. It was criminals versus the community.
Bullshit.
The law enforcement community has learned many lessons from dealing with anti-government extremists, both in the 1990s and in more recent years. They are armed. Many have extensive training with weapons and explosives, and some are ready to be martyred for their cause. There have been deaths on both sides. Since 2010, 7 law enforcement officers have been killed during violent encounters with anti-government extremists. During the refuge standoff, the primary militia spokesman was shot and killed as law enforcement attempted to arrest him and the Bundy brothers. Boy Finicum became a martyr to the anti-government cause, and rallies in honor of him have spread across the nation, planting the seeds of distrust and anger in communities far and wide.
And that kind of goes back to a point that I was making yesterday, where the government needs to maintain the illusion of benevolence, that they are, in fact, the good guys, and that restricts what they have on the table as far as options. And that's why they have to use things like false flags and use a bunch of propaganda to maintain their position. So if they can't really come at us too hard, too fast, without a really good lineup of events or propaganda leading to it. So this is almost over. Let's continue.
So know that the events of the last 3 years are not merely history to the movement. They are calls to arms. The members of the anti-government movement are false patriots who are primed for a fight. Don't give it to them.
Don't give it to them. Don't give them the fight. That's very interesting that they'd say that. Okay, so they're just showing images here. There might be a little bit more left to it, so I'm just going to talk over it while it plays. But they're showing the scary militiamen who want to restore the Bill of Rights in the Constitution.
Thanks for your service, and thank you for really upholding the Constitution.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right, let me cut this shit off. See if I can fade it out all nicey-nice. Okay, so again, that was coming from the Southern Poverty Law Center. And the title was Understanding the Threat, Anti-Government Extremist. And that video was narrated by Jim Kavanaugh, one of the negotiators at the Branch Davidian siege. So I heard the call-in line ding a couple times while I'm grabbing my next article. If anybody wants to come up, feel free. So when I went looking for Jim Kavanaugh's bio, I really couldn't find very much. I sent this article titled One of a Kind, James Kavanaugh, Head of ATF's Nashville Office Retires. I sent it to from the trenchesworldreport.com today, and it's coming from a website called ticklethewire.com. And when I poke around this website, it seems like it might be a NSA spook kind of website, but I'm just theorizing on that. So anyway, this article is written in a pro-James Kavanaugh fashion. So I'll just take it for a grain of, or take it with a grain of salt there. Okay, so during his colorful career with ATF, which spanned more than three decades, James Kavanaugh found himself in the thick of some of the nation's biggest cases. The D.C. sniper murders, the Unabomber, white supremacist Eric Rudolph, church burnings, and the deadly shootout at the Branch Davidian in Waco, Texas, involving leader David Koresh. 99% of him thought he was David Koresh, but the 1% of him really knew he was just Vernon Wayne Howell, just a two-bit thug from the country in Texas, said Kavanaugh, special agent in charge of the ATF Nashville office, commenting on Koresh during a lengthy interview in October 2009 with TickleTheWire.com. He was one of the negotiators during the standoff. On Wednesday, Kavanaugh, a New Jersey native who kept his Jersey street sense about him while acquiring a Southern charm during his many years working in the South, retired from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives after 33 and a half years. I'm wondering if there's some numerology symbolism in that. He's reached the mandatory retirement age of 57. Must be nice, huh? What is it they make you wait for Social Security? Like 62 or 64? 65? I'm not even sure. His retirement party is Thursday night in Nashville, where he headed the ATF office for 12 years. Jim is a one of a kind, all the way from his ability to do the job to his passion for the mission and his professionalism, said Mark Potter, special agent in charge of the ATF Philadelphia office. He'll create a huge void in the organization. Oh, God, we don't need to read about him as a kid. After
hey,
his.
David.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Henry. It sounds to me like they're shitting themselves.
That video was produced a year ago, and I would agree. Yeah, the fact that they're saying don't do anything, and they said that on two separate occasions within the video, I would agree.
Well, they tell you it's spreading like wildfire across this country, But then they turn around and tell you the true patriots. I mean, you can tell me down is up and up is down, but when I look out there, I see what I see, and the people are seeing it. Anyway, that's one I wanted to throw in. Great show. Later.
Well, thank you, sir. All right, let's see. He started his career in Nashville, where he spent 8 years before getting promoted to resident agent in Wichita, Kansas. He then transferred to the headquarters in the Explosive Division and then the Special Operations Division. After that, he became assistant special agent in charge of Dallas and later returned to headquarters as deputy chief of the Explosive Division. He later went on to head the Birmingham Division and then Nashville. It's interesting they're so involved in the South. That must be significant of something. Maybe they have less control in the South, more of a rebel spirit. U.S. Attorney Edward M. Yarborough of Nashville credited Kavanaugh and his agents for significantly increasing the number of indictments of felons with guns by almost threefold from 2008 to 2009, the project Safe Neighborhoods, and for help cracking down on gangs. Jim is a fantastic law enforcement officer, he said. He's easy to work with, always available. Sorry to see him go. Yeah, he likes to divvy up the booty at the end of the raid, right? Shotgun for me, a rifle for you. Echoing similar sentiments, Mr. Harrison, special agent in charge of the FBI in Memphis, said, Jim is a great law enforcement partner and a friend. I will personally miss her, blah, blah, blah. Assessing his career with the ATF, Kavanaugh said on his last day, I did it my way. I did it as a field commander and not a headquarters guy. That's the way I wanted to do it. It's just who I am. That's why I joined the cops. Even though I did two tours of Washington, I fought off half a dozen transfers and promotions with big titles up there to stay in the field. Washington has got to realize the field command is a critical piece to keeping America safe, he said. Yeah, they got to propagandize the shit out of them and pay them really well, I'm sure. And probably do a lot of psychological assessments to separate the wheat from the chaff so they can get the truly psychopaths out there, or maybe the ones that really believe in the whole depopulation agenda. Okay, Kavanaugh said he's not sure where he's going to go in his next chapter of life. Well, we know now the Southern Poverty Law Center. He's a spokesman. I'm excited. It's a little sad, too. It's been a long time. I'm looking forward to new things and change. So that's it. So corrupt ATF asshole. And I want to say I saw more on him that he had some sort of involvement with Oklahoma City and all that, but I'm not completely sure about that. So I have a whole bunch of articles lined up, and some of them are actually quite interesting. But at the same time, if anybody wants to call in and change the subject or talk about anything that interests them, feel free. The next one we're going to talk about, I found via the Drudge Report. And the Drudge Report linked to InfoWars, but I couldn't send it into From the Trenches. I just couldn't put an InfoWars article on From the Trenches, so I kind of kept it separate. And now I'm going to actually go to the source of what the article is covering instead of really getting into the Paul Joseph Watson article. So we'll get into that when we get back from the break. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. All right.
I'm taking the fight, I said.
heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
On the turning away from the pale and downtrodden and the words they say which we won't understand, don't accept that what's happening is just a case of all the suffering, or you'll find that you're joining in the turning away. It's a sin that somehow light is changing to shadow and casting a shroud over all we have known. Oh, the world, how the rain as the daytime is stirring, where the speechless unite in a silent accord, using words you will find a strange, mesmerized as they light the flame, feel the new wind of change on the wings of the night. No more turning away.
It's Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. It is 1:40 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time, and that was Pink Floyd on, and the song's called On the Turning Away. And there's a reason I played that song today, and an article that was sent in by Sunfire titled to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion, titled Pink Floyd's Roger Waters Hits Out at Musicians for Crossing Israel Picket Line. So this is coming from RT, and let's just get started. Okay, rock legend Roger Waters has spoken to RT America, Anya Parampi, who knows, in a wide-ranging interview that airs on Thursday. Ahead of that, we have a clip of Waters criticizing fellow musicians Radiohead for not boycotting Israel. In addition to discussing President Donald Trump's ongoing tensions between the U.S. and Russia and the Israeli lobby, Waters called out Radiohead's Tom York for refusing to participate in the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, BDS movement for Palestinian rights. In an interview that broadcast on RT America on Thursday, August 10th at 5 p.m. Eastern, Waters and other BDS supporters recently asked Radiohead to join the cultural boycott of Israel and cancel a gig scheduled in Tel Aviv last month. The band rejected the call, but Waters still hopes to speak with the frontman personally. York explained that his band does not endorse the Israeli government or its occupation of Palestine. He added, however, the band also doesn't support President Trump, but that it can't prevent Radiohead from playing in the U.S. But it doesn't prevent Radiohead from playing in the U.S. Okay, so I guess they're drawing a parallel between Israel and the U.S. there. For York, the separation of performance and politics is clear, but in the case of Israel, that's something Waters takes issue with. Thom York is wrong about not endorsing the policies of the Israel government by playing there, Waters told RT America's Parampil something. I don't know. I think she's Indian. I saw the clip earlier. Spokespersons of that government have said how excited they are that this is the best thing that has happened here in Hasbara, which is the explaining to the rest of the world what a wonderful and precious democracy Israel is. There must be a typo in there. Waters likened the BDS movement to a striking picket line, which once crossed ultimately serves the Israeli government's purposes, no matter what an artist's intentions may be. They are making a public statement that they do endorse the policies of the government, whatever they say, because that is what will be reported in Israel, and that is what gets reported around the world, Waters told RT. That's why Radiohead are being so soundly criticized by anybody with progressive ideas about human rights, because they haven't taken that step. Waters also addressed York's other point about performing in the U.S. The people of the United States have not got together as a civil society and asked performers from the rest of the world not to come and perform in the United States. So I guess that's what they say the Palestinians are doing. Palestinians, on the other hand, are an occupied people, and there is an organized resistance against the occupying army, Waters says. Parampil asked Waters why his BDS message isn't being heard in the U.S. media or even on nighttime talk shows. We're not quite sure, but it comes from above, Waters said, relaying what he alleges as a producer for PBS reporter Charlie Rose told him. so you can figure it out for yourself. It's not rocket science, Waters said. Okay, so yeah, a reporter from Charlie Rose had told Waters that it's coming from above, and he was quoting him directly. Did we have a caller trying to come up? I thought I heard a little bit of noise. All right, I'm just getting a sip of water. Feel free to pop in at any point. Okay, so this next article is actually kind of important. There already might be an article about it up on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com other than what I sent in. But I found this via Drudge, and it directed me to InfoWars. It's written by Paul Joseph Watson. It was posted today on August 10th, 2017. And it's titled, Black Sky Event, Feds Preparing for Widespread Power Outages Across U.S. Experts gear up for a catastrophe that would bring society to its knees. So it says federal government agencies are preparing for the possibility of widespread power outages across the U.S. as a result of a black sky event that could bring society to its knees. So they claim that FEMA, the Department of Energy, are involved with it and they're wargaming. And what it... There was a link right in this article that brought me to the source. And the source article is posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com today for discussion by me. And I'm pretty sure the title should be Earth X, August 23rd, 2017, Emergency All Sector Response Transitional Hazard Exercise. So what I'm going to do is read the tab titled Earth X. And in the sidebar, there's a whole bunch of information and PDF documents that I'm sure would shed more light on this subject, but I just didn't have the time to thumb through all of them today. So apparently there's some sort of a drill coming up on August 23rd, 2017, titled Emergency All Sector Response Transitional Hazard Exercise. So it's titled Earth X. Today's lifeline infrastructures are interconnected and resourced on unprecedented scales, with supply chains spanning the nation and, increasingly, the world. With this growing integration and global reach, we have brought us remarkable capabilities at a price. Concerns have grown over the potential for severe malicious or natural black sky hazards associated with subcontinent scale, long duration power outages with cascading failure of all our other increasingly interdependent infrastructures. This creates a grim and difficult dilemma. Restoration of any sector will only be possible with at least minimal operation of all the others. So why do we have a electrical grid that is completely tied in and you can't get it started without starting all the power plants or most of the power plants? That doesn't seem like that's a good system. And this kind of reminds me of what I was talking about with hydroelectric and nuclear being blocked. We could have a much stronger, much more supply, a much better power grid. Anyway, I don't want to get too carried away. I want to make sure I finish this article here. Okay. To deal with this deadlock, careful sector-by-sector and cross-sector resilience planning is crucial. However, such plans to be effective must be exercised with the diversity and the national and global scale of the infrastructures we now depend on. This requires an unprecedented multi-sector national and international exercise series. So, yeah, this is like multi-jurisdictional task force on steroids, huh? What is Earth X? Earth X is an evolving, distributed, collaborative, partner-developed exercise designed to meet this need, hosted by EIS Council as part of the EPRO, resource family. These annual multi-sector international exercises are being developed to evaluate and improve restoration support, preparedness, response, and recovery plans for severe hazards. As the series continues, it will provide increasing opportunities to enhance coordinated planning across all infrastructure sectors and their corporate, government, and NGO partners. Why Earth X? A locally facilitated come-as-you-are exercise, Earth X offers participants a unique opportunity to examine preparedness, response, and restoration postures for severe hazard scenarios without extensive preparation for the exercises or exercise. As an out-of-the-box senior-level exercise, it also provides an opportunity to examine and rehearse critical executive and operational decisions required before a full operational exercise. EarthX will also provide opportunities to integrate cross-sector requirements into the decision-making cycle in a way that adds realism and weight to the consequences, helping enhance local, state, federal, and public/private partnerships in preparing for response, restoration, and recovery in black sky events and complex catastrophes with a power outage component. Hold on. EarthX 2017 priorities. In 2017, EarthX will focus on four primary areas: executive and senior operational decision making, initiating and coordinating initial sector response and restoration actions, multi-sector emergency communication and coordination, developing sector recommendations for improved restoration support and resilience. Highlights. Decision-making for disrupted services scenarios. EarthX simulates a subcontinent-scale, long-duration power outage with cascading failures of all other infrastructures. The exercise format offers executive and senior-level operational decision-makers the opportunity to review critical decision-making policies, processes, roles, and responsibilities, essential to the success of all other response and recovery operations. Development or review resilience policies and plans in a come-as-you-are exercise. Participation is voluntary to and open to all organizations that need to be prepared for long-duration power outages. The exercise is designed for self-evaluation with distributed play conducted using electronic tools and local facilitation for feedback and execution. Prioritization and coordination across multiple sectors, EarthX is constructed as a multi-sector scenario. Participants receive a situational awareness updates from each of the critical sectors, providing a broad, immersive environment simulating real-world impact of the scenario. Specific features for different sectors include electric subsector, provides opportunities to evaluate interdependencies and priorities for situational awareness and resource prioritization for generation, transmission, and distribution. For other sectors and for corporate, government, and NGO partners, provides opportunities for internal assessment, resource accountability, and evaluation of the needs and priorities for coordinated cross-sector support. So, let me see. Is there anything else worth reading here? Individual and family lane. Evaluate personal preparedness and train for severe outage scenarios. Dynamic multi-phase four-hour exercise. EarthX 2017 includes 3 1-hour dynamic exercise phases representing different aspects of the response and recovery timeline and 1 reflective phase. Each phase begins with a framing scenario inject using sector-specific injects for each exercise, lane developed by key stakeholders in that sector. Okay, so I imagine those are probably terms involved with wargaming. Okay, so that's it for this tab titled Earth X, which is coming from the EIS Council, which is Electric Infrastructure Security Council. Now, there's a bunch of different stuff on the website. I haven't really taken the time to poke around. So I would say to the listeners, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and find the website, or you can just punch in EISCouncil.com and take a look around this website, see what you can see. Maybe we can find where these different agencies they're talking about working with are discussing and identifying themselves as being part of this process. So I encourage everybody to take a look. Now, with this whole Korea thing, there has been kind of a bunch of paranoia and fervor that's been building up in the population, and even the mainstream media is kind of pushing it to a degree. And I think it's comical that when the time is right, they call us preppers and you know, extremists crazy for stocking up on supplies and buying gas masks and NBC equipment and all that. But here they are right on the Fox 10 Phoenix selling the same thing. So I'm just going to play this little short clip real quick. I found it funny.
People in the valley already preparing for a possible nuclear attack by North Korea. Some local surplus stores say customers have been asking for things like gas masks and radiation detectors. Gonna fly in the studio. Fox 10's Nicole Garcia has the details.
15 minutes to total destruction.
That's how much time experts say you have to take cover once a nuclear weapon is launched in your direction. For some, that's a very real possibility in this day and time.
Business has increased in the last 2 weeks for sure. I've got calls for radiation detectors. I had one guy leaving the country. He came in yesterday, bought a bunch of stuff, says he's moving to an island. So there is fear. It's not a panic yet. But if anything happens, it will be a panic.
U.S. Surplus Corporation is currently sold out of gas masks and MREs. There is some in stock at Allied Surplus.
We have gas masks. We have communication devices. We have emergency water here.
The last time both shops experienced an increase in demand in nuclear attack survival items was 6 years ago.
They were very popular when they had the tsunami in Japan. The nuclear reactor, I sold out.
People were coming in wanting potassium iodate pills and gas masks and chemical suits, things like that.
They say the important things that families should stock up on are ready-to-eat meals, water and a water purifier, a handheld radio in case cell phone towers are wiped out, a flashlight, a military compass in case GPS towers are destroyed.
And one other item that local surplus stores plan to restock soon are potassium iodide tablets. They can help block radioactive iodine from being absorbed by your thyroid, and that protects your body from radiation injury. Reporting live, I'm Nicole Garcia, Fox 10 News.
And don't forget to duck and cover, folks. So, yeah, there's been a bunch of insanity about this whole Korean thing. It's been a buildup for sure. I got a couple articles lined up. I obviously don't have very much time to read them. But this is sent in to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion August 9th by Katie. It's titled, Evangelical Advisor, God Has Okayed Trump to Take Out Kim. So apparently God's talking to the evangelical advisor for Trump and telling him to nuke a nation. Not just take out Kim, but nuke a nation. Donald Trump's evangelical advisor Tuesday said God has given the president the authority to take out North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. When it comes to how we should deal with evildoers, the Bible in the book of Romans is very clear. God has endowed rulers full power to use whatever means necessary, including war, to stop evil. Pastor Roberts Jeffries of the Baptist Church of Dallas said in a statement. Listen to that nutcase horse shit. Who are they kidding? You know, we're going to kill all these people on both sides, and somehow that's going to result in good. Why would North Korea want to nuke us? Okay, unless we're sitting there doing something to them to give them a damn reason to nuke us, why? You know, and I beg to differ, there probably isn't a good reason other than we're constantly saying we're going to attack them. You know, if my next door neighbors were constantly saying they were going to attack me, I'd probably arm up and I'd get cameras and I'd get some big mean dogs and I'd get some fencing and I'd be watching my back every step of the way. So, you know, I almost wish I had a two-hour show today because I definitely had a lot more stuff to get into. Maybe I'll be able to use some of it for Oy Vey Friday tomorrow. But on that, we have to end the show for today. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be back at it again tomorrow.